Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And as we know, it's the tax season, right? And this is where there's been a strong call to make sure that you and I, as taxpayers, when interacting with tax practitioners, and maybe you're asking them just to, you know, twist, change a few numbers for tax avoidance, which is legal, versus tax evasion, that there could be some significant ramifications for the professionals that you work with. So let's get some clarity on this now, as SARS is actually looking to warn and caution tax advisors and how practitioners, lawyers and accountants need to be careful not to end up being liable for their clients' tax debts. Andre Daniels, Head of Tax Controversy and Dispute Resolution at Tax Consulting SA, joins us now for more. Andre, thank you so much for your patience and for being with us tonight. Firstly, you have a wonderful and a very interesting title. I can imagine the complexities that it comes with. But one of the latest complexities, of course, is SARS actually saying, hey, Mr. Tax Practitioner, Mr. Lawyer, Mr. Accountant, you also need to be careful that you don't work on too much avoidance, that it leads to evasion. But talk to us about the fundamental difference the new progress that SARS is looking to implement.
Good evening, Guru, to yourself and your listeners, and happy filing season. As you know, it's filing season. It's really important that we all get our tax filings into SARS within the deadline. But more pointedly on your question, this is actually not a new enforcement tactic by SARS. This is actually legislation that is being enforced by SARS as per Section 183 of the Tax Administration Act. Actually delves into the liability of a person who assists in the dissipation of assets. And that section states that if a person knowingly assists in dissipating a taxpayer's assets in order to obstruct the collection of a tax debt of the taxpayer, that person who assisted is jointly and severally liable with the taxpayer for the tax debt to the extent that that person's assistance reduces the assets available to pay the taxpayer's tax debt.
And I'm assuming that's a very important caveat that we need to remember, right? It's in terms of reducing the assets available that reduces the tax burden.
Certainly. So what happened in the Supreme Court of Appeal case, and which the Supreme Court of Appeal handed judgment down, the tax practitioner or the advisor to the appellants actually assisted in writing off a loan that was an asset to that company, that obviously that company could have recovered and used that money or those funds to pay off the tax liability. And there was a lot of legal jargon and flexing of legal muscles and flexing of legal minds in when a tax liability actually becomes due. And the Supreme Court of Appeal has now confirmed for us that there doesn't need to be an actual assessment for the tax liability to fall due. It is that tax liability is always due and payable. The issuance of assessment only clarifies the amount to be paid.
And I think this is important because then there's significant ramifications and consequences to it, right? Not only for the taxpayer, but even for the practitioner who's assisting them.
Most definitely. And, you know, in this increased compliance landscape, tax practitioners and their clients need to be very careful when giving advice, when assisting taxpayers in evading. You know, there are certainly bad tax practitioners that will seek to assist taxpayers in evading that tax liability. The Supreme Court of Appeal have confirmed for us now that those persons, those tax practitioners, may be held jointly and severally liable with the taxpayer in the payment of those tax liabilities.
Definitely. Andre, we appreciate your time. We'll have to leave it there, though, for tonight. But there's some critical lessons that we do need to bear in mind. And I guess as a takeaway to professionals who are listening, they certainly might be aware of the rules because they've practiced within the space. But what should we, as well as taxpayers, be aware of in terms of finding that balance of responsibility between the parties?
Taxpayers need to ensure that they are firstly dealing with a tax practitioner. You're welcome to ask a tax practitioner for the tax practitioner registration number with SARS. They must be registered with SARS. They have to have a PR number. That number will start with PR dash and then the registration number. Please ensure that you are dealing with a suitably qualified tax practitioner, as I said, that has a tax practitioner registration number and is registered with an RCB, being a registered controlling body. This can be SIPA, SICA, SATE, just a or the legal practice council. So it's important, firstly, for taxpayers to realize that you must be dealing with a tax practitioner with a registered practitioner number. as well as ensuring that they are registered with a registered controlling body and that they are on good terms with that registered controlling body.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir. Truly appreciate it. We're looking forward to touching base with you again in the future as we prepare and, of course, get ready to wrap up what hopefully will be a very successful
so much,
tax
Bruno.
Filing season. Thank you. That's
Thank you. Goodbye.
Andre Daniels, the head of tax controversy and dispute resolution at Tax Consulting SA. Interesting conversations we've had with our guests this evening, educating us, talking us through the different types of data collection and collation in statistics, understanding the role and responsibility not only of you and I as a taxpayer, but the tax practitioners that we also interact with, and understanding how best it is that we comply with our responsibilities without putting anyone at fault.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.